On this episode of the Thrill Geek Podcast, we talk Disney price hikes and D23 Expo in Japan.
And we talk Deadpool 2, Venom, and Kingdom Hearts 3. All this and more on today's Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm going to stop saying, I told myself today I'm going to stop saying the number, and I'm just going to start welcoming people to the Thrill Geek Podcast because numbers are pointless.
I don't understand. Wait a second. What number is this?
So, yeah. Welcome, everybody. We got lots to talk about today. We got D23 Expo that happened over in Japan. Lots of exciting announcements happened there, and we got Disney price hikes that everybody was so excited to see again. we'll actually touch on that first, since I'll kind of go over briefly what increased, and when Disney does price hikes, it's all over the place. Everything goes up from single day tickets to multi day tickets to annual passes. And everybody does their usual, kicking and screaming. But you know, it's the lay of the land.
The big jump this year was Disneyland, which was to be expected. I think they're sort of, especially annual pass wise, they're sort of priming. I expect next year to be probably even more. But you know, Disneyland was the big jump. And in price, and also with benefits too, change depending on which pass you get.
I couldn't believe some of them went up as much as $100.
Yeah, they're trying to, I guess, trying to shed some pass holders. The thing is if they really wanted to shed pass holders, then you get rid of the monthly
payments. And you just make it one bulk payment.
That would really reduce the amount of pass holders. And
you remove the convenience factor.
Something that they, yeah. I mean, it's so much easier spread over 12 months. I'm sure here, once we started monthly payments here, the amount of pass holders have increased. You know, no one really knows the exact number, but I think there's a lot more annual pass holders here than there used to be. And that's because of the monthly payments. In same way there, they don't want to kill the golden goose. You know, they're worried about the park has a capacity issue. But I mean, both parks at Disneyland really can't handle the crowds they currently have. Especially parking wise, which, you know, they're finally something that really should have been done 10 years ago. They're finally building another parking garage, but it seems like, you know, they're trying to wean or get people to drop down to a pass with more blackouts. But as long as if your pass went up $150 and your payments are spread out over 12 months, you know, then you're paying only an extra, I think it was like what, $11.50, $12 a month,
averages
something
out to
like that.
$10-$12 extra a month.
That's not going to hurt people as much. I mean, they took away, I guess the big takeaway was they took away the discount for renewal.
I saw that.
Which we still have, which is, I mean, every year when I sit there and consider taking, you know, whether I want to drop down or what with my Disney World pass, that, you know, that really big, you know, that 15% you save by keeping your pass and renewing is usually what gets me to renew, because it is, you know, it is a chunk of change, especially when the pass is $600 and something.
So really quick, I'll skim through some of the price increases here. A value day ticket at Magic Kingdom, which is basically because Disney does the value days now in the peak days. A value day ticket is $109 for adults, $103 for children, which was a $2 increase. Regular tickets, which are, I guess, not peak and not slow times, that's $119 for adults, $113 for children. And then a peak day at Magic Kingdom now runs you $129 for adults and $123 for children. So that's just Magic Kingdom. The other three parks, you know, they have their own set of tickets. A value one-day ticket will be $102 for adults and $96 for children, an increase of $2. And then regular time frame tickets are $114 for adults and $108 for children. And then peak times are $122 for adults and $116 for children. Again, that's for Epcot, Hollywood Studios, and Animal Kingdom. And then, like we said, the
could you imagine paying $120 to go to Hollywood Studios right now?
and then, like we discussed already, Disneyland annual passes saw the biggest increase of, you know, at least $100 on them. And then here we saw all of our annual passes at Disney World go up. The Platinum went up to $729, up from $679, $589 for the Gold Pass, and which has the blackout dates during spring break and Christmas. And then the Silver Pass went up to $439. Up from $419.
I mean, it's the typical price increase. The biggest thing here is it's later this year. You know, for right now, the multi-day tickets have all been one price. And then I guess the big thing is they're going to move to the peak, non-peak ticketing system for multi-day tickets. And that to me is where, you know, I wonder if they're going to start pushing the line for some people, because the whole thing is, okay, well, I go there for 4 days. I'm saving dramatically compared to the 1 day tickets. And I have a feeling once they go to the peak non-peak pricing on the multi-day tickets, I don't know if it'll be interesting to see what the savings are going to be. We keep wondering where that line is for people, and yes, a lot of people have been priced out,
but the crowds are still coming.
and that's the thing, and you know, the crowds are still coming. It's just very interesting, you know, dealing, you know, what those of us who live in Orlando compared to a lot of the regional parks. You know, there was a time where the Orlando attractions weren't that much more than the regional parks, but that day is way gone, because albeit yes, regional park prices have gone up, but nowhere near the level, you know, once Disney went to this Magic Your Way plan, ticket prices have just skyrocketed, and
people are still paying.
So yeah, the price, people are still paying it. They're going to pay it for Star Wars Land. You know, I'm expecting, you know, we didn't get that much of an increase for annual passes this year. I'm interested to see what's going to happen
right
next
before
year.
Star Wars.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they, if certain passes are blacked out from Hollywood Studios at the end of, we may get an idea of when Star Wars Land is opening based on some of the passes may end up being blacked out from a specific parks next year.
Parking also saw a bump in price. Preferred parking is now $45, up from $40, and then regular parking was bumped up $2 to $22. And then the minivan service too saw a price increase.
Yeah, parking's always been interesting to me, because I mean, when I first moved here 11 years ago, parking was a pretty good price, was a good value compared, because you know, 10 years ago it was like $10, and there was already at that time some regional parks that were charging $15-$20 for parking. And now is, you know, parking has become, you know, you know, there's no free rides at Disney. You know, it's all it's definitely you know, price increases, and like I said, there's, you keep wondering what's the breaking point going to be, but they seem to have not hit it yet. We'll see next time the economy has a downturn, and we'll see if or if, you know, what a lot of people have talked about coming true of international tourism dropping.
Yeah, I've heard talk about that, and that would obviously have a big impact, especially the, you know, the Brazilian audience and down there, since they're a huge portion of Disney's attendance international. I mean, not just Brazil, yeah. You know, all over. So, but anyways, prices have gone up again. Like we said, we got the article up. I picked and choose a lot of the, what I posted on there to kind of show people the important stuff on our article. There are some articles out there that have the full, every single price increase of every single ticket. I just kind of broke it down and showed the basic stuff. So moving on, still Disney. They had D23 in Japan, and everybody was expecting Disney. Just like when they have D23 over here stateside, everybody was expecting some sort of big announcements out of D23 in Tokyo, in Japan. And we got some interesting announcements from new rides. I guess you could call it a new ride. And then, like I said on Twitter, Disney just kind of re-announced a lot of stuff that was already announced, like a lot of the stuff at Tokyo. So,
yeah, it's always funny the difference between Disney and Universal. It's like we're what, weeks, a month, month or two away from Fast and Furious open, and we have no clue what the opening date is. And you know, anything, you know, same thing. Yeah. You know, we've only had one little trickle about, you know, the new Harry Potter ride coming in 2019. Whereas Disney, you know, here's a little bit more information, about stuff.
Yeah, they did. They updated us on pretty much everything that's already been announced, plus some new things. So,
you know, they like to throw out their little pieces of concept art. Like, you know, we have a new piece of concept art for Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which to shock to no one, yes, it's opening next year.
Yeah, we got an opening year, which I think everybody kind of anticipated opening up in 2019. So it'll be a big year for next year for Hollywood Studios with Star Wars and now this opening up.
Yeah, I think everyone sort of knew that the plan was to get Mickey and Minnie open either, you know, around the same time as Star Wars. I've heard, you know, that they're pretty much shooting for summer of next year. So it's, you know, we got a little bit of some new artwork, and you know, it's moving along. Construction's, you know, continuing. Obviously this is a case of construction we really can't see, because it's pretty much taking place in a pre-existing building.
Yeah, there's not much in the way of, you know, us bloggers, we can't get construction photos of this ride. So everything's going to be a complete surprise with this ride. It looks cool. I'm still not sold on the, you know, the animated Mickey that they're using. I just, maybe it'll grow on me once this ride opens, but I can't get into that style animation that they have going into the ride.
Yeah, I hope they can pull off what they've got planned. I mean, you know, the idea for the ride sounds cool, and we'll just see how it comes off in execution.
Yeah, and they also posted on the Disney Parks blog, they posted kind of a better description of the ride, and I'll read it here. It says, "The fun begins when you see the premiere of a new cartoon short with Mickey and Minnie getting ready for a picnic. As they head out, they drive alongside a train and find out that the engineer is Goofy. Then one magical moment lets you step into the movie and on Goofy's train for a wacky wild ride." So got a little bit more details as to what the kind of the storyline of the ride of the attraction is going to be. Hence the name Runaway Railway. I guess, you know, Goofy's going to be a big part of it too. So that was announced. We got confirmation that Guardians of the Galaxy attraction at Epcot is going to be indeed a roller coaster, and not just a roller coaster. According to Disney, it will be, quote, one of the world's longest enclosed roller coasters.
Yeah, that's not surprising, considering, from some of what rumors we've heard, this is going to be a roller coaster, maybe have some show scenes in it. So, you've got the Universe of Energy building, and then you've got a whole other building they're building as for this ride. So, I mean, that's a lot of square space.
Yeah, they're building. I think don't quote me on this. This is just kind of speculation, but it looks like, some of the construction photos I've seen, it's almost going to be like a rock and roller coaster type thing where there's this long tunnel, and then there's going to be a building kind of off property, off Epcot property, where the bulk of the roller coasters, where the bulk of the roller coaster is going to be. So it'll be interesting to see how much of the, if any of the Universe of Energy building is used for the ride.
I've heard everything from, like, that's obviously where the queue is and where I believe the station is, and I don't know if, like, there'll be a show scene. They've really kept it pretty tight-lipped about what's going into this ride. I've heard more of what the Star Wars stuff, early on rumor wise was going to be, then I've heard this, and, they've really kept it close to the vest, besides it, confirming what we sort of all knew, that it was going to be a roller coaster.
Yeah. They kind of came out and announced that it was a roller coaster, but pretty much, when they announced that a Guardians of the Galaxy ride was coming to Epcot, it was pretty much speculation that it was going to be a roller coaster, and here we are. It's a roller coaster. Disney's come out and said that it'll be a really long indoor roller coaster, so should be exciting for Epcot, because Epcot doesn't have a roller coaster. I mean, there's all your Epcot fanboys, or some of them are hollering and screaming that Guardians doesn't belong in Epcot, but I think it'll be an interesting fit.
Yeah, well, we'll see what the storyline is. I mean, if the storyline is right, then I think it should fit. This is obviously going to take, they're saying 2021 before this is ready, which this one I can see why it's going to take so long, because really the area behind Universe of Energy, there's a drainage canal, so they've got to shift some of that drainage canal over into a different spot. So, there's going to be a lot of land moving they have to do, back there. And there's a lot of back of house stuff around there too. So
yeah,
they definitely have to rearrange some stuff to build this attraction.
Yeah. And it's apparently, from what I've seen, like the land clearing, it's going to be a pretty big building that they're building off, like I said, off property. So, we'll see what happens. So we got a couple of new Star Wars tidbits, not really anything new about Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. They announced that some more of the merchandise you'll be able to pick up. They posted a picture of like these little plush, animals that you'll be able to purchase inside Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. But the big Star Wars announcement update, I guess you could say, is about the Star Wars Hotel. They released a new animated picture of one of the areas of the hotel and just how crazy this thing's going to be. And a lot of people were saying attached, and I'm guessing it's going to be physically next to or built near Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, but I believe the term Disney used was, quote, seamlessly integrated to Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
I've got to assume that the building for this, since this, you're basically going on a spaceship cruise.
Yeah.
And it's fully immersive to the point that, you will be putting on Star Wars universe style clothes.
Yeah.
This is something, next level. And I'm assuming it's going to look like that the hotel itself from the outside, it's going to look like that there's a starship parked, behind Star Wars Galaxy Edge. I mean, it is a spaceport, so I'm sure it would fit right in to have a starship, parked in that area. I would assume that's how they're going to blend it in. Or Disney, it could just look like rock work. But if you're going to charge people what I think they're going to charge people for this.
Yeah.
It's got to look like you're getting off a starship when you walk into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge or what's the point?
There was a while back, there was a rumor that right there at World Drive across from Hollywood Studios, there was like a bunch of land clearing. And everybody thought that was going to be for Star Wars Land, but I think it ended up being for the fireworks, I believe.
On the other side of World Drive is the launch site for the fireworks.
But yeah, there was like a huge land clearing going on over there. Everybody's like, oh, that's going to be for Star Wars Land. And they're going to build like a Hogwarts Express over World Drive or something like that. And I was like, this is for.
Yeah, no, they had to move the launch site because the old launch site, they had to close the back half of the park for the fireworks and then couldn't reopen until, all the rooftops had been checked and all clear given. So, they moved the launch site and also, with all the construction now, the fireworks had to launch from somewhere else.
Yeah, no, it's just when people started talking about when Disney announced that this was going to be integrated into Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, it reminded me of that rumor that they were going to build, Disney was going to build like their own Hogwarts Express across World Drive and Star Wars Land was going to continue on the other side of, it was an interesting rumor. Anyways.
Yeah, no, I mean, the funny thing has been people talking about, people crash in the lobby. You're not going to, unless you have a reservation for this place, you're not going to be allowed. This is a Disney resort. You're not going to be allowed into.
Yeah. They're probably going to have this thing locked down pretty tight.
Yeah. I mean, this is basically going to be like, you're going on some sort of cosplay cruise is basically what it is. And it's funny when some people have talked like, well, the only thing I use a hotel for is to sleep in. It's like, that's not the point of this thing. I imagine it's going to be a minimum 2-night experience.
Yeah.
And this is what you're going to be doing while you're doing this. This is not about going to the other parks while you're there and coming back to your Star Wars hotel to sleep. This is about experiencing a full-blown immersion into Star Wars universe.
Yeah.
And people will pay big money for that.
Oh yeah, everybody's speculating about the price for this thing.
I can't. It's got to be a minimum $1,000 a night. Some people who've said $500, maybe for a child, but no, it's got to be, because this is going to be an all inclusive experience. It's like you are on a cruise ship. I mean, they might charge extra for the alcohol, or like I said, the price might be priced at a point where it includes everything. Because the whole point of you going on this is you're stepping into another world.
Yeah. That's the only thing I could really compare it to is the Disney cruise. You pay one price for a Disney cruise and that's everything. This might be somewhat similar. Where it includes everything. It includes it's going to be a hotel. So
yeah, it's interesting how it'll be interesting to see what the final product is. And this is something that they can't just build it and that's going to be enough. That's something they're going to have to keep updating through the years. Technology will change. It will get better. It's going to be interesting to see how they pull this off. And especially, like I said, I'm thinking minimum $1,000 a night for this place.
Like I said, that seems to be the going rate for people's guesses. Moving over to California, we got some new announcements. We got an opening date for Pixar Pier, which everybody is so excited about. Pixar Pier is opening June 23rd at California Adventure. And they posted a new picture of the entryway, which is basically the former Paradise Pier sign. It's now going to have Luxo on the top, and it's going to say Pixar Pier. Pretty simple.
It's about the same.
Yeah. And, you know, we got the Incredicoaster coming, which is probably the biggest part of the Pixar Pier. And then the Toy Story section. So that'll be opening June 23rd. And I saw some pictures, I think it was yesterday, and they're already going at it on the former California Screamin' roller coaster, getting that thing ready to be the Incredicoaster. They're, enclosing the launch tube on it and everything. So it'll be interesting to see once that's all said and done, what it looks like.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. And then, you know, there will be a new float coming to the Paint the Night Parade, which will be running at California Adventure instead of Disneyland. And it'll, of course, feature the Incredibles.
Yeah, I completely forgot that's going to DCA, California Adventure.
So, you know, they're getting a coaster, they're getting a parade float, and the pier is becoming Pixar Pier. And, you know, we'll see how the final product looks.
Yeah, you know, there's not a lot of people happy about it, but we'll see how it looks. There's not too much known about it. I mean, there's some concept artwork out there, but, you know, who knows? Maybe Disney will surprise everybody. I think probably the biggest announcement was Marvel is finally coming to Disneyland Paris in a new, well, I guess I say new, but an update of a former attraction. Aerosmith Rock and Roller Coaster is leaving, and a new ride based on the Avengers is going in there. I'm guessing the same roller coaster. They're just going to do a Marvel overlay now instead of Aerosmith.
Yeah, which is surprising because it isn't surprising. What's surprising is that they didn't do that here, because a lot of people were like, why didn't you just do that with the Guardians of the Galaxy? Albeit what we're getting now is something way bigger. But you know, they're rocking.
I always said, why don't we do Guardians at Rock and Roller Coaster? I thought it was a perfect fit.
Yeah, and their Rock and Roller Coaster, while the layout was the same, the ride experience was different.
Have you seen the entrance to theirs? It's so cheesy.
Yeah, it's like you're walking. It's like you're in a parking lot.
Yeah. But I think the concept artwork that they released looks really cool. It's got Iron Man and the big arc reactor in the background. So. It looked like that's part of the queue line. So it looks like Stark's lab is going to be a big part of it somehow.
Hopefully that is an animatronic Iron Man that you'll see in the queue.
Yeah, there's a Iron Man, what, like Barry just said, and hopefully it's an animatronic. And then there's the big arc reactor from the first, that was the first Iron Man movie, right?
Yes.
Oop, I'm hitting my microphone here. Sorry.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the actual, you know, obviously it'll be the same coaster experience, and it'll be interesting to see what happens on the ride, whether, you know, there'll be animatronics or what, you know, what you'll will actually be going on as you're going through the roller coaster.
Yeah, and even Disney said on their little update, it said it'll be a, quote, high-speed, hyperkinetic adventure where guests can team up with Iron Man and the Avengers. So apparently Iron Man's going to be a big part of this rock and roller coaster overhaul. So it'll be interesting to see how that pans out with compared to Rock and Roller Coaster. And then also at Disneyland Paris, all sorts of Marvel stuff happening there. Their hotel in New York at Disneyland Paris is getting a Marvel makeover, which I thought was really interesting. It's very interesting that Disney chose Marvel for a hotel theme.
Well, it's Hotel New York. It was. It's been way due for it for a refurb, and I guess they decided, you know, to put Marvel in it. You know, that hotel never was really that. You know, had that great of a theme to it.
Yeah.
You know, and I guess this will give it a little bit more of a pop. You know, they gave out, you know, some design, some concept art for the, you know, one of the rooms, and you know, it's definitely got a neat look to it. And you know, as since they can use Marvel in Paris, it, you know, gets a little bit more Marvel out there. And you know, it's something that we can't have here at Disney World, besides, you know, Guardians, Big Hero 6, and one other thing. I think Doctor Strange, but not all of Doctor Strange.
Yeah. And that was really it. And like I said, speaking of Big Hero 6, they touched on all the stuff that, like I said, they pretty much already announced, which is the Big Hero 6 attraction coming to Tokyo, Disneyland, the big Beauty and the Beast expansion they're doing, and they're updating Soarin' at Tokyo Disney Sea.
Well, they're putting in Soarin'. They hadn't had Soarin'.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, I take that back.
Which is sort to me is sort of past few additions to Disney Sea have been sort of disappointing. It's you know, they keep getting, you know, they're getting the Soarin' clone, which you know, they got Toy Story Mania.
As incredible as that park, I mean, I haven't been there personally, but as amazing as I've heard it is, you think they would be, the attractions coming there would be up to par with what the status that park has gotten as probably the best Disney park ever built.
Yeah, I mean, it'll definitely help with capacity in that park. You know, they do have another port coming, you know, that's been talked about for a while now, that it probably will be Frozen related, because they do still have some expansion area pads available there.
Yeah. And then, of course, Hong Kong, they touched on the Hong Kong Disneyland, and bless you. Yeah. Hong Kong Disneyland getting the Ant-Man and the Wasp attraction, which is replacing the Buzz Lightyear ride there.
Which should be really interesting. Yeah, well, I'm interested to see what that is actually going to be. So,
like, what are you going to be shooting at?
Yeah.
Because I think their Buzz Lightyear ride is basically almost identical to ours.
Yeah, it's the Disneyland version, I believe.
Yeah. So there you have it. All sorts of exciting updates from D23 in Japan. So moving on.
Yeah, let's move back to here, and let's quickly touch on the Seven Seas Food Festival that kicks off this weekend at SeaWorld here in Orlando. You know, they have released some of the acts that are coming. You know, basically kicking off like this weekend with Bachman and Turner, Larry the Cable Guy, then February 24th is the Jacksons, March 3rd is Huey Lewis in the News, March 4th Chris Young, Daughtry on March 10th, you know, there's also Eli Young Band's coming, El Gran Combo, and then there's still a lot more acts to be announced. And also new this year at Seven Seas Festival. Seven Seas Food Festival. There will be two new markets this year, food-wise, out of the 12 markets that they have. The two new markets, the new one of them is the All-American Market, which will feature like Chicago, New York, or Coney Island-style hot dog sliders. And then there will be a German market, which will feature things like a Wiener Schnitzel slider, pretzel wrapped bratwurst, knackwurst, chocolate dipped foot long pretzel. And then as usual, like they did last year, from like February 17th through March 25th, we'll have like barbecue, different barbecue style foods, and then Latin foods from March 31st through April 15th.
There's a, while we're on the subject of Seven Seas Food Festival, I got the newsletter in the mail the other day, and they have a thing going. If you purchase your, you know, your lanyard with the hole punches, if you purchase the, I think it's the eight sampler, you get two free or something like that, but you have to log on to your, I guess your pass holder account or something.
Yeah. So you have to do it in advance,
but pretty good deal. I mean, those lanyards are totally worth it.
Yeah. I mean, it was a great deal last year. I definitely felt like I got my money's worth, especially every time I used it on the New England lobster roll. So the key with the lanyards with any of the festivals they have there is you got to pick the right things.
You got to get your money's worth.
Yeah, you got to get your money's worth. And, you know, we'll have more on the Seven Seas Food Festival on our next podcast, because we will definitely be there covering it this opening weekend.
Yeah, and we got the when's the media event?
Tomorrow night. So Sin will be checking out the new foods. And
so look for all that on the socials.
On the social media. I think that's it when it comes to theme park stuff.
I think so too. We got a few little pop culture things to go over really quick. Some video game news. New Kingdom Hearts 3 trailer, which is always exciting because we don't get too much Kingdom Hearts stuff.
Yeah, we've been waiting since, what, 2005, since Kingdom Hearts 2 came out?
Yeah. And I mean, there's been the few filler games in between that have come out on the DS and stuff. Like, I haven't played any of them. Apparently, this game's going to pick off where the last game that came out for the, I posted it on the article. It's going to pick up where Kingdom Hearts 3D Dream Drop Distance. That's where Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to pick up from. And I haven't played it, so I'm hoping it's you know, because there's probably a lot of people that haven't played those DS games. You know, they just Kingdom Hearts 2 and they're waiting for 3.
You know, they have the compilation. I think there's been two different compilations released so far for. I think one was for PS3 and Xbox 360, and then there was the one they released last year for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One.
Yeah.
So there's, you know, you can definitely get up to date with and I think the one they released last year, I've seen it for like cheap now, like $20. So yeah, I mean, this gave you the trailer we have up on our website gives you a look into a Monsters Inc. style world, which, you know, you got Sully and Mike, and then you got Goofy and Donald looking like monsters. So
And even Sora himself looks interesting with his Monsters Inc. like costume, I guess you could say. So, and then I was watching the trailer again, and there's even a few. I saw a Tangled level, so it looks like we're gonna get something from Tangled, and there's one quick clip of something, the Little Mermaid. So I don't know if that was just a cut scene, or we're actually going to get a Little Mermaid section in a part of the game. But
I think there was supposed to be a Little Mermaid part of the game. So I think that was one of the worlds that's been announced.
So
they keep teasing it, and they've been God, how many years have they been teasing this game? It feels like the last three or so years they've been teasing this game.
Yeah, I forgot when the first trailer came out, but it's, you know, it's been over a decade since the sequel is supposed to. I mean, like, you got games like Halo and Call of Duty where there's pretty much a sequel every 1 to 2 years, and this game's 18 years in the making. So the gameplay still looks really cool. What's really interesting about the gameplay for Kingdom Hearts 3 is they're using attractions. Like, they're actually using rides for some of Sora's, like, attacks and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's teacups and stuff, and it's really interesting to see them utilizing more of the theme park stuff in this game than previous, like Kingdom Hearts 2. I thought that was really cool that they're kind of paying homage to a lot of the theme park stuff, like attractions and stuff. So yeah, no release date yet. I posted in the article, and this was my hunch that we'll probably get a release date probably at or before E3 in June, which is the big video game conference for everybody that doesn't know.
Yeah, I would figure by then we'll either get a release date or we'll be told it's been delayed again. So what are the
yeah? Hopefully it's the latter, and we get a release date. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you know, I hate to say it, but holiday time frame. But we'll see. What we get another trailer, lots of gameplay in it. You can check it out on the website. If you're a Kingdom Hearts fan, if not. And it's coming out on Xbox. That's the other thing that makes me happy. So I've always been an Xbox person.
Yes, I'm a PS4 person.
So moving on to, once again, our weekly coverage of movie trailers. It's another busy Marvel trailer time frame here. We got Deadpool and Venom.
Well, we got Venom, but we really didn't see Venom. So,
yeah, that was the biggest disappointment. I don't know what Sony was thinking with that trailer.
You saw the symbiote in like a container.
Yeah.
And you saw Tom Hardy running and screaming.
That's about it.
People looking serious.
And a car flips over.
Yeah, but that was about all you got in the trailer for Venom. So, I mean, which it's a teaser. That's sort of the point is to tease what's coming. And it definitely worked as a teaser. So, you know, we will see. They've really kept it pretty secret, you know, what the plot is of this movie and whether Spider-Man should, you know, I've heard everything from Tom Holland won't be in it at all to I've heard, you know, Tom Holland's been at the set and they filmed something, you know, so it's they've kept it pretty secret, which is good. I like that. I hate it when they give away stuff. So,
yeah. And I think Sony's actually come out and said that this film is going to take place in the world of Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah. I mean, originally it was said that this is going to be totally separate, but apparently, you know, it is going to take place in the current, you know, Spider-Man world, you know, obviously not in the MCU world, but you know, it's, you know, Spider-Man's in that weird place where he can show up in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but he is still technically sort of in his own world too. So,
yeah, it's kind of interesting to see that since Sony's let up with Spider-Man, how he's kind of crossed over into the cinematic universe, and it'll be interesting to see what happens with this Venom film, if there's any kind of crossover or anything, or, you know, maybe they'll just do like a little Easter egg or something, you know, and just keep it kind of subtle.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And speaking of a movie that's in its own universe, sort of, you know, Deadpool released a new trailer that pretty much
it's in a league of its own.
Yeah, I mean it, and as usual in typical Deadpool style, it couldn't be just a straight up trailer.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole Toy Story thing was phenomenal.
Yeah, no, that was hilarious. You know, as usual, they broke the fourth wall and you know, basically stopped the trailer that we were watching and was making his own version of the trailer with action figures. And then it finally did.
Oh, Cable's arm wasn't complete. It was just like a green screen on his arm.
Yeah. So, but then the trailer started back up and we, like I said, once again, I like the fact it's a teaser. You got a lot of cool shots, a couple of funny quips, and still didn't really get any idea of what, you know, the movie is about. You know, I mean, if you didn't know the plot, I mean, you could sort of glean that Cable is obviously from some other time, because he's definitely, you know, in some of the scenes you see, it's definitely not the current time where Deadpool is.
And yeah.
You could definitely get that idea. And if you know about the character can travel through time. And so, you know, we got to see Domino. You know, we got to see some of the characters that were in the last movie. So I thought it was a really good teaser. A couple of funny jokes and just a fun trailer. And
everybody's excited.
Yeah, everybody's excited. Like I said, the only thing Deadpool's got going against it is it comes out 2 weeks after Avengers Infinity War and 1 week before Solo. So
yeah,
it doesn't have that much of a window. It's going to face a lot stiffer competition than the original movie had to face.
I can't remember how much the first Deadpool made at the box office, but I don't think that
it broke a lot of records.
Yeah. And with it coming out in between Solo and Infinity War, like you said, it'll be interesting, but I don't really think it has anything to worry about, because Deadpool fans are dedicated, at least the core Deadpool fans, which ain't going to break, you know, if they just went out and saw the movie, that's not going to break records, but I think it'll do well. It'll be a good time to go to the movies with all these, you know, with Solo, with Avengers, with Deadpool. It'll definitely be an exciting few weeks at the movies. So
yeah, and so it's I'm looking forward to it. The only other thing, we didn't post it, but the season 2 trailer for Jessica Jones on Netflix came out, and that's coming out March 8th on Netflix, and we got a little bit more that basically seems like this season's going to be about what happened to her in the past, how she got the experiments that were done on her that created the powers that she has.
And, yeah.
And also got a little tease that the villain from the first season, who we all assumed is dead, is going to make an appearance. And whether it's a flashback, I don't know. You know, they were very good with the trailer of just teasing things, sort of giving you an idea of, you know, what the plot is going to be, but didn't really give you, you know, tease that there's a serial killer on the loose, but didn't, you know, give any sort of reveal of who the villain will be this season. So,
and speaking of Marvel, Black Panther tomorrow night. Are you going to see it tomorrow night?
Yeah, I actually, after the media event, we will be seeing it in IMAX over at Universal AMC.
And there's already people posting that this film's going to break all sorts of records. It's already breaking records.
They're expecting possibly a record breaking box office opening this weekend, especially for a February film. So and every review so far has been overwhelmingly positive. I mean, positive is probably the lowest.
I haven't even seen anything negative about it. Every person I've seen that's seen it or that's been to a media preview, that's been to an early showing, just is raving about it. So
yeah, well, it was originally 100% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's down to 98%, which,
oh wow.
You know, that's pretty impressive. And, you know, it's a lot of reviews are really calling it unlike any other Marvel movie so far. And, it's, you know, I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited tomorrow night to, be going to this.
I was excited at first, but I'm really excited now just because of all the gossip about it, how, you know, everybody's raving about it. It's got me even more excited to see it. So that's coming up. What else we got going on coming up here? Seven Seas Food Festival.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the Seven Seas Food Festival. We got Black Panther. And I'm sure there'll be something will be announced. You know, there are you know, the it seems like the days of slow news in the theme park world are over. And
maybe we'll get an opening day for Fast and the Furious soon.
Yeah, I hope so. And everything we talked about here tonight, it will be in our links for it will be in our show notes.
And yeah, luckily I condensed all the D23. I was debating for a while whether I should post each D23 Tokyo announcement as a separate article or just do one big one. And I think the one article worked out pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, it was just, a lot of it was just a little bit of new tidbits about stuff we already knew. So
and that's why I came to the point. I was like, oh, I might as well just do one article because it's really, it wasn't enough to bite off and make a new article with. So I just made one big article. So I'll have that on there. And oh, our newsletter. Yay. We have a newsletter.
Yes, we do.
And I made it easy to sign up. You can just go to thrillgeek.com/newsletter, or there's a sign up page right when you go to thrillgeek.com. You can just throw in your email and your first name and sign up for our new newsletter. It'll be weekly. I decided to go weekly. We should have enough content for us to post a weekly news article or newsletter. And it has I'll squeeze everything on it from the latest episode of the podcast to articles. I'll even throw up a YouTube video on there if we post something new on YouTube. So,
Go ahead.
No, I was just saying you can sign up at thrillgeek.com/newsletter, or just go to the homepage, and it's right there on the right hand side of the website.
And remember, the podcast now is also on Stitcher.
Yeah, that was something that I randomly came across, and I submitted it to there, and it got approved. So we're on Stitcher. So if you use Stitcher to listen to podcasts, we're on there. And I threw it out to some other podcast listening applications. I can't remember. I think Spotify. I think I submitted it to Spotify. I haven't heard anything back yet. I don't know how long their approval process is. And there was a couple other smaller podcasting apps that I submitted it to, but I'll post it on Twitter and Facebook if they get approved. So I'm just trying to get the podcast out there to more outlets so people can listen to it, even though iTunes is our number one listening platform. I still want to get it out there for other people to listen to. So I think that's it. You good? You got everything, Barry?
I think I'm good.
All right, cool. Well, that's it. Until next time, we'll see you guys again. Again, follow us on Twitter at ThrillGeek, Facebook, facebook.com/ThrillGeek, and subscribe to the YouTube, youtube.com/ThrillGeek. We just hit 12,000 subscribers, so let's make it 13.
Yes, thank you very much for that. At ThrillGeek on Instagram. I am at Culture and Thrills on Twitter, and you changed your thing again.
Yes. I try to get creative. My personal Twitter now is I am CG and then EED. I am CG'd. I got creative. I made it funny. Anyways. All right. We'll see you guys again next time. Thanks for listening. Bye.
See you in the parks.